Hello, this is Testimony Talk. My name is Jalen, also known as Dr. J, and welcome to another episode of this amazing podcast. Now, let me tell y'all about the foundation scripture of this podcast. The foundational scripture of this podcast is Revelation 12:11. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And this podcast, the main goal is to share your story. We all have the same story. God saved me from this. God's impacted our lives in various ways, and I just want to share it with other people. So give me a few minutes and I will bring on the guest for today. And today's guest is my good sister by the name of Cheyenne. Say hi, Cheyenne, to the audience over there.
Hey, y'all.
Great. So glad to have you here. Now, I understand you've been on quite the journey from going from not having a relationship with God to where you are right now. Do you mind telling me about that in full detail?
Yes. Growing up, my mom always said to have a relationship with God, but we didn't go to church, and I didn't have any idea of what a relationship with God looked like. And so I would just say, like, starting from the beginning around eighth grade, I realized that I was attracted to women. Whoa. And I was realizing this by way of just being online and stuff, being on the internet. And so I realized, like, hey, I think I like girls. And so I went to high school the next year, and that's when I had my first girlfriend. And so I'm texting her, stuff like that, and my mom took my phone one day and she's like, what are you doing, what's going on?
So your mom just, how'd your mom even see the phone?
You know, when you're young, you know how mamas and stuff, let me check your phone. Let me see your phone.
Not check your phone.
Was she
looking over your shoulder?
It was like, give me your phone. Let me look through your phone, see what you've been doing.
Bruh.
And so she looked through my phone, saw all that stuff in my phone, and she spazzed out. I ain't gonna lie. Like, she spazzed. And I was like, it was so unexpected because it's not like we went to church or anything. I'm not saying anything because, you know, everybody's still around and stuff, but right. It's not like we all live this holy sanctified life. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what's up with you? You know, like, why are you flipping out on me? And so, the next week, throughout that whole week after she found out, it was like I got whoopings every day. They weren't like regular whoopings either. It was rough. It was really rough. It was really rough. And I mean, every day she would take me to school and she would look at me and she'd say, you know you're going to hell, right, for what you're doing. You know you're going to hell.
Ouch.
And so I got confused, and my mom, who's never spoken to me like this, is never like, you're going to hell for what you're doing. It was never, that was never a conversation in our house. And so I'm like, how am I going to hell? We won't even go to church. And so that's when my mind started thinking of Jesus as an enemy to me, or just like somebody I'm not cool with. I couldn't be cool with him because we got opposing views. I had qualms with Jesus.
Right.
Like, you know, yeah, I had qualms with, but it was just, then I decided that if I'm going to live my life like this, if this is who I am, then me, my mom, and Jesus are at odds.
Right.
And so as time went on, I continued to talk to women. I continued to try and talk to these girls. I sneak on my mama's laptop. I sneak on a computer. I sneak and try and talk to somebody.
Right. You're just trying to, like, one-up mom and Jesus.
Well, it wasn't like I was trying to one-up. I essentially was... I was searching for my identity, and I was really just searching for somebody to love me. I didn't grow up with my dad. When I was 10, so me and my mom moved down to Memphis. We moved down here for a man, and he said, you know, go and stay with my mom.
Right.
And he never came down here. He ended up staying with another woman. And so that... there was back and forth, And he never stayed. I never had a man figure in my life that stayed around. Mm-hmm. And so I was always just like, there was always this question, and they always had other kids.
Right.
So it always felt like I wasn't chosen. And so now these women are choosing me. Now I'm in a situation, I was bullied when I was younger. Now I'm in a situation where I am getting affirmation from somebody. You know, somebody is saying that they want to be with me. Somebody saying that I'm pretty. Somebody is saying that they like me. They like things about me. So.
Right. So let me see if I put myself in your headspace. Mom, enemy over here. Jesus, enemy over here. Father figure, not a rap. No type of attention whatsoever. But you go to these women, they're giving you all types of.
Exactly.
I'm being loved by them.
And literally that. And so as time went on, I'm still trying to talk to them and stuff. And my mom is finding out. And it was a hard time. And so she's looking at me like, you're lying and you're sneaking around. And I can't even explain to her why I'm doing it. I can't even say, like, she's like, why are you doing this? You know, like, what is, you know, and I can't say it.
Right.
I can't understand this at this time. I'm just young and this is what I'm feeling, you know, and this is what they're making me feel like.
Right.
And so time went on, and I'm getting whoopings every day. I'm getting hit in the face. So it's rough. And so I said, you know what, God, I'm gonna just take myself out. I can't do nothing right. My mom, and in my mind, it felt like my mama didn't love me. Cause now we're kind of in the way that things would go. She would not talk to me. She would pretty much act like I didn't exist. And so it's like, growing up, it's just me and my mama. So it's my main person. It's like, now you don't like me. You know, now we're not cool. And so, I tried to kill myself, and that was still freshman year. I tried to kill myself. The ambulance got there, and I just remember her crying. And to be honest, I was looking at her like, why are you crying? Why are you so sad? Because, like, it almost felt like, what you think was going to happen if you treating me this way?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going to happen if you're whooping me all the time and you're not even trying to understand me? And so I remember I went up to Milwaukee that summer to spend the summer with my grandma. And I remember my grandma crying, saying, I don't want nothing to happen to you. I don't want nothing to happen to you. I don't know what to do. And I was so, it's like, I can't leave here. I can't, you know, break my grandma's heart. And I talked to some of my older cousins. I got a cousin that's like an uncle. I think we all got a cousin uncle.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just talked to me. He really talked to me. He asked me questions and he listened to me, and that made a difference. And so I went back home and I told my mom, I said, this is who I am. And this is who I'm going to be. And I hope I hope we can accept it. I didn't know what I was saying then. I didn't know what identity I was putting on. This is just what I knew then.
Right. So you came back home, mm-hmm. and you told your mom, this is who I am. This is who I'm going to be, regardless of what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
How did Jesus get involved? Like, when did that transition kind of just happen?
So that was freshman year of high school. Jesus didn't get involved until maybe sophomore year of college. And in between high school and college, everything progressed. I went from just talking to women to now my mom went through a really bad depression that I was sneaking around and stuff. I was skipping school. I started smoking weed in 10th grade. By 11th grade, I wasn't going to school. 12th grade, I wasn't getting to school until third period, and I was sleeping third period.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember a report card from 12th grade. It's a blessing that I graduated high school. And so things started progressing very fast. Now I'm still dating women. I'm going into college, and I'm pretty much just, I don't want to say coasting by, but I'm doing what I think is the right thing,
mm-hmm.
to the best of my ability. And things are still progressing as far as just not being, I don't know, I don't want to say holy, but just I don't want to say good, not being good either. I was just being what I thought, what I wanted to be.
Right.
So the drinking increased. Now I'm partying all the time, but I get a job at one of the most known chicken places in America.
Chick-fil-A.
I don't know if we can say that name here, but that's where I started working.
It wasn't Chick-fil-A, y'all.
It was a chicken place,
right,
at a chicken coop. But I started working there, and I went to a job fair. The way I started working there, I saw somebody that I went to school with, but he was sitting at a table next to this lady that just kept smiling at me. And I was like, what? Like, I was really just going to go speak to him and say, hey, what's up? But the lady kept smiling at me. And she's like, go ahead and apply. I'm trying to work in no fast food. I had walked out of Chipotle not too long ago. I had said, I'm never going back to fast food. That's why you don't say never. So I started working at Chick-fil-A. And what made a difference was I was drinking. I was partying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working hard. You know, people move fast at that chicken place. My bad. At that chicken place. People move real fast. You can't be moving slow. So apparently, I think I'm still celebrating something. I don't know what I'm celebrating.
I'm free. I'm being me. I'm celebrating.
And so the night before I had went, and I was celebrating whatever, and I didn't get home till like 4 in the morning. I had to work at like 8. And I was hungover. And I had to go to work at the chicken place. And the manager was like, you know, I was like, I'm feeling bad. She was like, you can't go home. And I'm like, I can't. And I was hungover. I had to go in the bathroom and throw up and come back. I got some hash browns and it settled my stomach. Anybody that, you know, that when you drinking, you got to get some grease on your stomach. Them hash browns helped. And I came back to work. But I knew, that's when I was like, I can't keep living like this. And that's when things started changing because my environment started changing. I couldn't live. I literally could not live how I wanted to live at first the same way. But things kept going. And the way that I encountered Jesus, the lady that was sitting at the table.
Yeah, with a creepy smile, right?
She didn't have a creepy smile, just a big smile. Just a real big smile. She started seeing things in me. She started saying, like, hey, you can do better at this, and you're great at this, and you should be doing this, and you should be, you know, you could be a leader here. You can do all these different things. I'm like, what's up with her? Like, what's on her biscuit? Because nobody's ever talked to me like that. And so she, one day she's like, you know, I think we could be friends outside of here. I was like, we could be. I think we could be. I think we could be cool. She was like, you want to go out to dinner? And so then I'm like, yeah, I'll go out to dinner with her. And so we go to this nice restaurant that's around the corner from our job. And we ended up like walking around and talking. And somehow in the middle of there, I said, is this lady trying to date me? Because I know she my manager.
Right.
I know, you know, but is she trying to? Because that's the only way I've known women, especially, to want to get to know you and stuff. They go take you out to eat. And then you end up walking around and the date don't end. So I'm like, is this a date? Mm-hmm. And then you know what she did next?
She paid for the food.
No, she started talking about Jesus. That's when I knew it won the day. I said, oh, this is different right here. She trying to get me saved. I'm good. I don't want to be saved. Me and Jesus don't got nothing to do with each other, because I said back in high school, if I'm going to live like this, I can't be cool with Jesus. That's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
So I started rejecting that woman. And it wasn't like I rejected her. I didn't reject her professionally. She still helped me professionally, but I was not, when I said we could be friends outside of the job, we could no longer be friends outside of the job. But she still encouraged me. She still, no matter how far I tried to push her, she still would say stuff to me about what Jesus was doing in her life. And so this is like my introduction to Jesus. She's like, you know, I know Jesus to do this, and Jesus has been helping me with this. And what she was saying was Jesus was helping her professionally. I never knew anybody talk about Jesus helping them professionally. And so I'm still living my life. Actually, things are increasing. I started doing drugs. I started doing cocaine. I'm starting to party more. And the main thing that happened was, one night I got so drunk, I tried to fight my friend, and I didn't have a lot of friends. I had a tight circle. You know how people say, I keep my circle tight. And so I kept my circle tight. And one night I got so drunk, I tried to fight my friends. I felt like they all betrayed me. And then that friend stopped being my friend. Then I one night went to a party with one of my friends, and there was drugs there. And I was like, oh, we not doing that tonight. And that was the last time we talked to each other. And I what I think is that it was just the environment. You know, some people be like, oh, you do that now? And they kind of just stop fooling with you.
Right.
So I think she just stopped fooling with me because my environment. And then I had another friend. She actually rededicated her life to Christ. And she told me, she never really said, like, it's because of how you living. But it was pretty, like, we can't be friends anymore because of how you living. And now I'm trying to go in a different direction. And that broke my heart. That broke my heart.
Like, all these friends, they're suddenly tipping off like dominoes one by one. They're going away. And you don't even know why.
I don't even know why. Because when, you know, when you're in sin, you're blind to it. You're blind to what's happening. I couldn't see that it was me. I thought it was them. And so I look up. The only friend I got is this lady trying to be my friend that I don't want to be my friend, who's best friends with Jesus. I told her what was going on, because now at this point she kind of like mentoring me. But I wouldn't tell her everything, but I'd still tell her stuff. And I remember standing outside looking at her like, this can't be it. This can't be my friend. But, you know, she was there. She was so consistent. I had never seen consistency that way. I'd never seen somebody love me so consistently, even the people I was dating. And I called my old self a serial monogamist. I was always in a relationship. And so it was like, none of them people were ever consistent. I didn't give them the space to be consistent, and I wasn't giving her the space, but she was. She showed up. And so that's when I was like, okay, so what's
the Jesus guy about?
What?
You're still here.
And so I'm not even like what he's about. I'm testing what she's saying he's about. Mm. She was the only woman I had ever met. She was a grown woman. She had never had sex. She was dating somebody and was a virgin. And I was like, can't be facts. I had never met a grown woman, a grown person that was a virgin. I had never met one. So I was like, okay, cool. Well, why you do that? Oh, because it's in the Bible? Where it say that in the Bible? Like, I'm trying her. Where does it say that at in the Bible? And at that time, I was super into astrology. Super into astrology. I do your birth chart. I could tell you about yourself because I just had all this knowledge about astrology. And what stood out about her was she has an amazing gift of discerning spirits, and she was able to discern me without knowing my zodiac sign. So I'm like, how you do that?
Right.
What's that about?
Right.
So, and she's talking to me. This is what the Bible says about that stuff. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but I'm saying this is what the Bible say. And I mean, I started searching in the Bible about everything. I started searching in the Bible about astrology. I started searching in the Bible about having sex before you marry. I started searching in the Bible about homosexuality. I started looking for Jesus myself without even knowing that I was looking for Jesus.
Wow.
That be the type of stuff that Jesus be doing.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay. And so time is going on. Time is going on. And things just start happening. Now I'm in a deeper relationship with someone, and things are changing. My life is, I almost end up homeless. And I'm really trying to figure out, where should I go? What should I do? I got closer to my friend, but I'm still weighing this option of, do I give up everything that I know? Do I give up what I almost lost my life for?
Right.
How could I do that? How could I give up everything that I've learned for this Jesus person who I know, if I'm going to live like this, I'm going to hell? So I'm like, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out. And I get out that relationship. But at that point, after I got out that relationship and I was about to end up homeless, it was like everything I had in me was gone. it was like almost everything I had in me was, I felt physically tired all the time. I felt mentally tired all the time. I was depressed. It seemed like that relationship sucked the life out of me. And I got into another relationship.
Wait, stop. You had this whole character arc going on about, should I go with this Jesus guy? I'm digging. I know more. And you got this whole mentorship going on over here. You're going upward. The next thing you know, it's like, stop.
Professionally, I started growing. I was succeeding. Personally, spiritually, I was dying. And I got into another relationship. I felt like if I stay committed to this one person, because by this time things are terrible. Okay, drugs, alcohol, cheating, parties, and so I'm thinking, well, if I commit to one person, maybe if I stop doing all of that stuff, I could maybe get this right. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't thinking if I gave my life to Jesus, things will work out. That wasn't the thought. How could I give up my... I didn't understand the idea of giving up your life for Christ.
Still wasn't ready yet.
But somehow in there, so I get into another relationship, and that relationship progresses, and I am... And it's with a woman, and I start... Now I'm about to go to corporate, which is out of town, but things are progressing spiritually too. I'm starting to fast. I haven't committed my life to Jesus, but mind you, I'm starting to fast because that's what my mentor was saying.
You're the most Christian, non-Christian person.
Except I would go to church and then I'd run out. That would be the one thing. I would go to church and I would run out. It was like I would go to church and I would bawl crying and I couldn't stay in there. But I started to want to go to church. I wanted to go to church. I just couldn't go to that church. And also that the pastor, who's now the apostle there, he actively taught on what the Bible said. And so if he was talking about homosexuality being a sin, I was out of there. I was out of there if homosexuality was a sin. I actively thought that those people at the church were homophobic. I said, oh my gosh, let me get out of here.
It's a cult.
That was me. So I ended up, I was in this relationship, and I remember asking the girl I was in a relationship with, I said, you think we can stay together and still get close to Jesus? And she didn't know what to say to me. She was like, if that's what you want to do, then do that. I'm like, but you think we can do it together? And the reason why I was asking it too, because at this time we started talking about marriage. And at that time she lived in Atlanta. So I'm looking at the corporate job. I'm looking at this job that's in Atlanta. We're talking about getting married. Things look like they could be going up. I'm going to trainings in Atlanta. I'm looking like I'm succeeding.
Right.
But whole time inwardly, I'm searching too. And by the time I started settling down too, I stopped doing astrology. I just, in my mind, I was like, if I have to get to know people based on astrology, I don't want to do it. So I'm renouncing stuff and denouncing stuff. And I didn't know this what it was, but I'm getting rid of stuff. I'm not drinking as much anymore. I had stopped smoking weed. I wasn't partying anymore. My life was changing, but I still hadn't made the step. So one day, I ended up reading Revelations. Mm-hmm. I read the whole book in one night.
Book. You know, people are scared of Revelations. They're like, it's the evil book.
And I literally got scared. I went to work the next day. I told my mentor, I said, I'm going to hell. And I said that I was like, oh my gosh, like if that's what's supposed to happen, I'm gonna go to hell. And she's looking at me like, no, you know, there's still grace and mercy for you. I said, nah, I'm about to go to hell. I got to figure something out. So now it's weighing on me.
She was doing so well.
I was scared. I'm like, if the world ends, I'm going to hell. And then you know, read the Bible and stuff. I know what it say. I'm not going to inherit the kingdom of God because I was having revelries. I was having parties. I was engaging in all that stuff. So I said, okay. And one night, this is a couple of weeks later, I had a dream that I was in a circle of people praying, and I was praying that the blood of Jesus would cover us. I was praying that this blood would cover us. I wasn't saved. And so I went to work and I told my mentor, and she's looking at me like, what? And I told this other guy that works with us, he was saved. He was a pastor. And he's looking at me like, what? And
I'm looking at you like, what?
And I'm like, what?
How are you getting this VIP access? You're not even saying
it. I'm like, what's going on? So I don't remember them telling me what the dream meant. Maybe they did, but I don't remember. I just remember being like, I don't understand what they mean. So time goes on, I go up for this job in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I went to interview. They flew me out to get this job. It was nice. I'm thinking, it was like everybody knew I was going to get that job. Do you think I got the job?
Yeah, you're pretty smart.
I didn't get that job.
Wait, what?
And so now my relationship looking funny. She looking at me like, so what we going to do? I'm like, I don't know what we going to do. Because I didn't know any other reason to move to Atlanta now. You know, it's like, yeah, we could, but I don't know. Because now I'm still thinking about how am I going to get close to God. Now what my mama was saying, have this relationship with God, it seemed a little bit more tangible now. And now I'm like, but now I know that that was one of the things keeping us apart.
Okay, so let me see if I can get us up to speed. Relationship not looking so good. Didn't get the job at Atlanta. That ain't looking good. And now you're still teeter-tottering a little bit, wondering, how can I dive into this Jesus fella over here and give up everything I know?
Yeah.
So when did the dive take place? When did Cheyenne really start to come into this mysterious Jesus fella you've been hearing about these past couple of months, years?
So I didn't get the job, and so I was about to go to New Orleans for my birthday and for my best friend's her sister's thing.
I love New Orleans.
Yes. I was down there for like a week, and right before I left, I talked to one of my guy friends, and I said, I don't think I'll make it out this relationship. I have a feeling I'm not going to make it out. And he was like, what you think that mean? What you mean? What you mean? And I'm like, I didn't know what it meant. I just had this feeling that I would not make it out this relationship if I continued to go deeper into it. So mind you, the relationship is falling apart. So I said, okay, whatever. We go down to me and the person I'm with down that time. We both go down to New Orleans. And so things are fine. Things are going well. We eating. We having a good time.
Eating those
the crawfish. Right, you know, right, I love crawfish. And I did have some good crawfish too.
And the beignets.
Yeah. So we're having like a good time. And then it's literally the last day. She's about to go back home. I'm still staying down there for my best friend's situation. And she goes, I'm taking her to the airport. She goes, you know what? I really don't like your friendship with my guy friend that I was talking about, that I talked to. I don't like your friendship with him either. Either you gonna be, either you're gonna stay with me or you're gonna stop being, and either you're gonna stay with me and stop being his friend, or if you continue to be his friend, we can't be together. So it was like a light bulb went off in my head. It was like, here is my out. It was like a door. You have you ever like a secret door opened up in a wall that you thought was no door? It was just like a door. And I said, I'm gonna still be his friend. And she flipped out. At first, she just didn't talk to me. I'm still in New Orleans, mind you. And then, because I'm still in New Orleans like 4 more days, then she is spazzing now. I'm at brunch with the girls, okay? I'm at brunch with the girls. She's spazzing out. And I'm trying to have a good time. And she's making it real hard. So I'm like, okay, this is it. And I remember driving back to Memphis. I said, I can't go back. I knew I couldn't go back to that relationship. So I can't go back. I can't do that. Cause I'm not gonna make it out. That's when I realized, like, hey, this was some divine intervention. Like, this don't just happen to people. I can't just go back.
Right.
So I said, okay. And so I made up my mind I won't go back. She was not having it. She was coming down. It was something like she called me from different numbers. She like, she was calling my mama. She was calling my friends. She was sending money requests on Cash Apps with messages. And it was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And so I went on this leadership retreat. I went down in Georgia. And she was still trying to get in contact with me. And I'm just trying to get some peace of mind. It was beautiful down there. It was beautiful. And I'm just trying, I'm like, I don't want to go back. And I didn't, this was the one time in my life where I didn't have anybody else lined up. I had nobody else lined up. It was just me. And it felt like Jesus was like sitting in a chair with his arms open, like, hey, it's your boy. That's literally Jesus, like, hey, what's up?
So now you got some free time.
Literally, Jesus, like, you got some time on your hands. Literally, I was Mary J. Blige, time on my hands. And Jesus saw it. He saw my hands was empty. He saw I had time on my hands. And I'm just sitting there, and I knew, because in this is by this time I had turned 24 and I had met that woman at 19. So it's been five years. And I realized either I could continue to try living my life the way I was already living it, because by this time I was empty. At some point in that relationship, I realized I was given 0% and the person I was with was giving me 100%. And I had nothing to give. I had nothing to give. I was depleted. I had nothing to give. And so it was like it clicked. Everything, all the scriptures, everything clicked. And I told my mentor, we were in a car with two other men. And I said, I want to give my life to Christ. And so this is like 5 years. She's like, what? I'm like, no, I wanna give my life to Christ. She like, you, and we've been 5 years. You know what you asking for. And I was recently thinking about this the other day. I knew exactly what I was giving up. I knew exactly what I was giving up because I had already read in the Bible. But I knew once I gave this up, I didn't want to be like people that just say you going to hell and they living a totally different life. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to be like that lady. I wanted to be just like her, and I wanted to live what I was talking about. I wanted to live. I knew I wanted to live for Christ. If I was going to do that, I knew I wasn't going to go back and forth. I knew I wasn't going to go. I wasn't going to be smoking weed and going to church. I knew I wasn't going to be doing it. So I gave my life to Christ. We were having a revival at our church. And I think it was like the second night of their, no, like the fourth, second to last night of their revival. And we got off the road. It was like a 6-hour drive. We got off the road and went straight to church. And I remember going up there and I gave my life to Christ. And that was August 23rd, 2019. And so I've been saved 3 years now. And it's been... God is so good. God is so good. I now serve faithfully in my church. I've been free from alcohol. I've been free from depression, anxiety, all kinds of addictions, all kinds of addiction, witchcraft, astrology, porn, just all kinds of things. I was thinking today, I've never been so free in my life. Everything that I looked for my identity in was so fruitless. Everything about who I am was found in Jesus. Everything about Cheyenne everything I thought I had lost because I didn't have a father, everything that I was trying to gain through relationships, everything that I was seeking through alcohol, the peace, everything that I was seeking in weed, it's in Jesus, and it's in the presence, and it's in his word. It's in his word. And I almost wish I would have did it sooner, but everything is made perfect in God's time. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful to be a woman of God. I'm so grateful to be able to say that my identity now is a woman of God. So that's my testimony.
That is an amazing and powerful testimony. Real quick, before we get out of here, if you have any, because a lot of people, they're going through struggles, and they may not have a church home to go to, or even like you kind of dealt with, they might not just be in the right community. Do you have any advice to tell other people who are going through similar things? What would you tell them?
Get out your comfort zone. Get out of your comfort zone, because everything that I found, everything was outside of my comfort zone. Some things about what I do now, some things about just serving the Lord now, is very personal to who I am, very like comfort in my identity. But I didn't find it until I got my comfort zone and gave him my identity and surrendered who I was to him and surrendered what I imagined things to be like. Until I surrendered my community. I was, my birthday this year, I looked around the table, I did a charcuterie board party, and I looked around and I said, all of these women that are here, I've met within the last 3 years, and they've given me so much, and we've been able to pour into each other, but most of them, I had to get out of my comfort zone and talk to them, had to lean into the community. Just because I go to church don't mean I get community. Right. I had to lean into the vulnerability and lean into the transparency, and just lean into the presence of the people that were there. So I say, if anybody is looking for community and they're struggling and they feel like, I don't fit in anywhere, nobody understands me, I would say try that one thing that you've been wanting to try, but it's a little bit uncomfortable. Get out that comfort zone. Go talk to that stranger. Go talk to that person that I really would like to be their friend. Go talk to that person. I got a friend like that. I really want to be her friend, and we friends. And even my mentor, now discipler, business partner, big sister, we're opposites. I would have never thought we would be friends, but I love her. I love her. And if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be telling you this testimony right now. But I got out of my comfort zone, and I walked out on a limb, and I walked on water. Hello. Stop. I walked on water. I got on my boat. So I would just say, get out your boat.
Okay. That is good. That is really good. Before we end the show, this is for my listeners. Maybe you don't know this Jesus guy or the Lord or the Holy Spirit, or maybe we just don't have a relationship with God in general. This is part of the show where I offer you that. So if you could give me a quick, brief moment of your time to allow me to say this quick prayer and just repeat these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, wash me and cleanse me, set me free. Jesus, thank you that you died for me. I believe that you are risen from the dead and that you are coming back again for me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost, a hunger for the things of God, and a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm forgiven. And I am on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. Okay, you can stop repeating. And I just want to say congratulations. You've just accepted the call to Christ, and you are now a member of God's lovely, beautiful family, and your journey with Christ starts right here. So I just want to say thank you for all my non-believing members who just repeated that short little prayer after me and became believers a few seconds ago. I can now call you a brother / sister in Christ. Please share this podcast with a friend. And now let's continue towards the ending portion of today's episode. And
that concludes another episode of Testimony Talk. Thank you guys for all your support. And be sure to share this podcast with everyone you know. And stay tuned for the next time we upload. All right, later.